You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. Students at many schools are under tremendous pressure to succeed. The problem is that success is being defined very narrowly by performance or standardized tests, which depend on their memorization of large volumes of information rather than authentic learning. At Tesseract School, students learn best in a process built around their needs rather than being forced into a mold. Here today to tell us more about the Tesseract learning process and what management, parents, and teachers can do to make sure our kids excel at learning is the head of Tesseract, Mark Bistricky. Mark, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. So Tesseract School just showed a national documentary called Beyond Measure. Tell us more about this documentary to get started.
Well, the documentary really makes the case that American students are overscheduled, they're overtested, and they're underestimated. And I think that that last descriptor is key, because in many ways the American school system is selling our students short and failing to harness their potential. The documentary makes the case that the pressure that we're putting on students to perform and the fear of failure that this pressure is instilling is really creating an epidemic in our schools today. And as you mentioned, that the measurements for success are not serving our students or their futures very well. And in fact, when we base our education on outmoded models of learning and bookwork, we're actually depriving our students of opportunities to cultivate the very traits that we're hearing from business and industry leaders that students will need in the future to thrive. In addition, the documentary argues that when we look at school through the narrow lens of only one measurable version of intelligence, namely good grades, high test scores, regurgitating information on multiple choice tests, we are really doing our students a disservice, because there are many, many different types of intelligence, and the types of intelligence students will need to thrive in the future are not those that are measured by these tests. Students will need to be creative and imaginative and apply what they've learned to solve problems that don't have easy answers. They'll need to be able to collaborate with people across the globe in order to solve problems that we can't possibly exist. And what we're doing with this high-stakes testing culture is actually depriving them of opportunities to develop those same traits that will be necessary. And in addition, that this treadmill that we've set our kids on is also cheating many of them out of formative experiences of childhood that help them to develop not just as students but as young people as well, as people of character, people with balanced lives, developing human connections, play, all these things that we associate with childhood. And the documentary makes the case that this is all unnecessary, and it's causing all kinds of health issues as well that are complicating kids' lives, and that it really poses the question, what is all of this for? What are we doing to this generation of kids when we're really underestimating what they are capable of?
What principles that were mentioned in the film apply to your school system?
Well, we are a school that for many years has been doing the kinds of things that this documentary suggests. We want to not underestimate our students, not overschedule or overtest them. We try to approach learning as a journey, not as a destination. And so certainly the intrinsic love of learning is at the center of our curriculum. So students, rather than having to jump through hoops or face all kinds of extrinsic measurements of their learning. We want to cultivate a joy that comes with learning and a natural enthusiasm for that process that allows them to exercise their creativity and imagination to solve problems, to approach learning from a multidisciplinary standpoint, so that they're actually combining material that they're learning from different disciplines to solve a problem. We believe at Tesseract that what students know is important, what they learn is important, but what they do with what they learn is much more important. And this is what we're hearing about the need the future will have for our students, the need to be creative and apply learning, the need to use imagination in devising new and innovative solutions to problems that we can't imagine. We don't know what the dilemmas our students will face when they're in the working world, but we do know that they will need to be able to think outside the box. They'll need to be able to collaborate. They'll need to be able to combine information and learning in new ways. Another principle that we apply at our school is that academic rigor is not measured by the amount of homework that students have or the number of grades they are ahead of some arbitrary measurement. Rigor is defined by cognitive engagement, the degree to which students are thinking deeply, that they are engaging in critical thought, that they're creating new learning and new knowledge. And that kind of rigor is, again, not best served by putting students on a treadmill where they need to earn the highest possible test scores and they need to earn the highest possible GPA. In fact, some of the most important traits that our students need to develop can't be measured by any kind of standardized test.
Now, as an educator, do you believe that the system is broken?
I think that our education system, unfortunately, continues to be rooted in the 19th century factory system, whereby there's an assembly line process. If you think about it, students go to one class for 40 or 50 minutes, and then they completely change to a different class with a different teacher in a completely different subject area. It's all very regimented, and this kind of regimentation and standardization is not serving the needs of the future very well at all. Students need to be able to synthesize learning, combine different subject areas in a multidisciplinary approach, and that in fact this regimented, highly pressured system that we have can stifle students' creativity and stifle the natural enthusiasm they have for learning. So learning can become a chore, a box to check off, rather than a joyful process of discovery. I think also, unfortunately, our education system has failed to respond to the economic revolution the world is in the midst of. Our world is more closely connected than it ever has been before, more interdependent than it's ever had been before. And we all know that any job that can be done by a computer or a robot or done more cheaply overseas will be going away for good by the time our students enter the workforce. Also, the nature of a career is changing for our students as well. They can expect to have two or three different careers during their working years, not two or three different jobs, but actual careers. And so we need to prepare them in a broad sense to meet these challenges, and so we can keep pace with the rapidly changing world. And unfortunately, our current system doesn't do that. It doesn't prepare them for the degree of critical thinking, creativity, applied learning that they will need to be successful in the future. We need our students to be able to innovate and be able to solve problems at a very high level. This also means that as educators, we need to innovate and be flexible in the models that we offer to our students rather than the one-size-fits-all approach that's prevalent in American schools today.
Some really interesting information here today. We're joined by Mark Bistricki, the head of Tesseract School in Scottsdale, Arizona, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at eHealth Radio. Now, Mark, They recently rejected the Common Core standards in Arizona. What was the reason behind the rejection, and what is the answer if it isn't Common Core?
Well, unfortunately, the Common Core standards became a highly politicized issue in America, and certainly in Arizona as well. I think when you look at the political landscape in our country right now, it would be very difficult for any national set of standards to be widely accepted. And I think the Common Core can be a very easy target, but I think the larger problem lies with education's long history of standardization, and certainly the Common Core represents that. High standards are definitely important. I think everyone agrees with that, but if they're the wrong standards, we're not going to be able to expect different results. I think that the way that we measure progress towards, whether it's the Common Core or whether it's another set of standards, is actually the larger problem. And the high-stakes testing that we engage in forces schools to narrow their focus to what can be measured rather than what students actually learn and what students, more importantly, need to live lives of purpose and to be productive members of society. So the result, unfortunately, is an assembly line approach that puts our students at a competitive disadvantage. So I think that for Arizona and for the country to improve the way our schools serve our students, we need to discard the idea entirely that testing is the best way to measure a student's intelligence and potential. And the fact is that the abilities that our students need to demonstrate their success in their future, critical thinking, creativity, synthesizing learning, applying it, are those that aren't measured. And so what we have is a system of education that's geared towards recognizing and rewarding only one kind of intelligence. There are so many examples of individuals who have changed the world who were not particularly successful students. So when you look at somebody like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, who fits that model, it's impossible to argue that this was an individual that lacked intelligence or lacked initiative or the ability to innovate. And those are shining examples of the type of individuals that education needs to serve more effectively. Because the problem is not a lack of intelligence. The problem is a system that is skewed to recognize only a very narrow measure of intelligence.
Do you feel a lack of parent involvement plays a role in the failure of children?
Certainly parents are and always have been the first educators of their children. And students learn as much outside the home, certainly more outside the home, than they do in the home. And so it is very important for parents and schools to partner together in community because we all want the same thing, to have well-adjusted, well-educated children that can be productive members of society. One of the things that this documentary points out that I think is very important is that this treadmill of high-stakes testing and demands on students that involve 4, 5, 6 hours of homework every night, tremendous pressure to develop a resume for college, these kinds of pressures actually can prevent the kind of family relationships and well-adjusted social relationships that students are going to need to be whole people. When you have 4 to 5 hours of homework a night and you need to go to soccer practice and you need to cram for an upcoming SAT exam these kinds of pressures that are put on students, it makes it difficult for them also to have the kind of healthy family and peer relationships that will help them to be whole people. And it's putting kids in a place where we're seeing a very high rates of anxiety, of sleeplessness, of gastrointestinal disorders. So it is taking a toll on students' physical and emotional health. And so certainly families are paying a price for this, and our students are paying a price for this. What our school stands for and what I believe is that it is very possible to have a rigorous education that prepares you for a productive future without having to compromise childhood and adolescence and having the kind of social and emotional balance that is going to help produce a balanced person.
What are some things educators can do in the school system to ensure that every kid is learning?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we have, in many schools, lost a sense of learning and learning as discovery and helping to kindle the natural curiosity that young people have for learning. And I think that that is a real tragedy, because when we heap pressure on kids and make learning about a to-do list or a chore, it takes students who could potentially be lifelong learners that are fascinated by the world and that want to grow intellectually, that want to create new things, that want to innovate, that want to be entrepreneurs, and we stifle them. We give them a negative experience of what learning entails that can help to turn them off to learning altogether. And I think that that's a real shame. Schools can also do a much better job of creating opportunities for real-world innovation for our students. The more that we can connect our students to the world out there, the more that we can help to put them on the cutting edge as innovators and entrepreneurs, not looking backwards so much, although we certainly need to know where we came from, but we need to look at our past as a prelude to where we need to go as a society and what this generation of students will need to be able to respond to. And it's going to require learning that is applicable to problems that we can't imagine at this point. We also need to help our students to connect with cultures and people across the globe. There are plenty of examples in the headlines today of ongoing cultural issues that in many ways threaten the stability of global politics and economics. Our students are going to need to have experience of understanding other cultures and being able to work with other cultures so that we can hopefully develop new and progressive responses to these issues. I think the other thing that we as educators need to do is look at students as individuals that learn differently, that have different learning interests, that have different passions and temperaments. I think that, unfortunately, I think schools have been forced to adopt this assembly line, one-size-fits-all approach, because of the pressure on them to deliver test results. I think learning needs to be individualized and personalized to a greater degree than it is today, because we will need different learners and different skill sets. And when we're trying to prepare students who are very diverse in their learning styles and interests by forcing them into a mold, we, in the process, are going to turn a lot of kids off to learning and innovation.
Well, Mr. Bistricki, this has certainly been an enlightening conversation. Certainly appreciate your time today. Where can one go for more information about Tesseract?
Our website is the best source of information about our school. That's tesseractschool.org, T-E-S-S-E-R-A-C-T, school.org. There you can read about how Tesseract continues to be an industry leader in progressive, forward-looking education.
Once again, Mr. Bistricki, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for joining us here on Enterprise Radio, and keep doing what you're doing, and all the success to you.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And the pleasure was certainly ours. We've been speaking with Mark Bistricki, the head of Tesseract School in Scottsdale, Arizona, with over a decade of experience as an independent school leader committed to exploring innovative new models in education. And once again, the website of reference is tesseractschool.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.